The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Good morning, Peoria Nazarene. I want to welcome you along with Pastor Matt to this stream today. And I want to thank Lydia Rote for that beautiful song. All I have is Christ, and we are certainly praying for our college students, and we're so thankful for those who are able to be safely home, but it's a reminder to pray for all of those and to pray for one another in the church family as we're going through this unsettling time. And I also just want to encourage you as a church family, as we begin today, please continue to pray for our doctors, for our essential personnel. Please pray for nurses, all medical professionals. Continue to pray for our teachers, parents, for those you know who are in the hospital, those recently grieving. Pray for one another. I think that there's not one person in our life right now that wouldn't benefit from prayer. And so let me just encourage you is let's often be praying for one another. So I just want to pause before we continue in the service today and just have some special prayer for those and give you an opportunity from home to bring whatever request. God knows who's on your heart today. And so in even this moment as a family or individually watching this stream, let's lift up those together. Our Lord, we come before you. We remember that, as this song has reminded us, that all we have is Christ, and Christ is what we need. And Father, we have so many examples of the love of Christ in our world today. Even in the midst of this difficult time, there are examples of many who are sacrificing, doctors, medical professionals, educators, Lord. So many people who have been willing to sacrifice to help those in need, to put themselves at risk to care for other people, and especially those of us in need. And so, Father, we just want to pause. We want to thank you that in this time we know that God, our Creator, is with us in the Lord Jesus. And we'd ask that you would give strength. Father, we ask that you give wisdom and protection. Lord, we pray for the hope of the gospel, the hope we have even now, Lord, to be manifest, to be very obvious during this time. So, Father, we just want to pause, lift up those family members, lift up those individuals that are on our hearts today, and knowing that you care. You care for us, Lord, and you care for all people, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, if you're just joining the live stream for the first time, my name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at Peoria Nazarene Church, and it's such a wonderful honor to have you join us in this stream. And then I just want to greet everybody who's joining from your home. I so miss seeing your face, but thank you again for abiding by the shelter-in-place order. I know that we all are adjusting to it being longer, but thank you for continuing to follow the guidelines that are being given to protect us. And so it's good to see you. Let me just remind you, it'd be a wonderful time if you haven't already, pull out your cell phone. Take a picture of yourself, post that in our private church family page. We would love to see each other. It's a wonderful way of encouragement to get to see each other in the church family. So if you're able to just take a quick picture of you and your family, we'll have a post in that private Peoria Nazarene church family page. And I just want to encourage you, post your picture in the comments, and then we can all see each other. Even though it's virtually, it's still good to see each other's faces. And I also want to encourage you, if you want to text somebody right now, send a text to somebody or comment and bring a greeting to them during this time. Well, I want to begin as we are about to open the Word of the Lord, just with acknowledging something that I've seen, especially during this time. But I think it's safe to say that to be human is to desire to share your life. There's something about just being human that makes you want to share your experiences, your life with other people. Two examples came to my mind this week. One is, for several months now, I've been looking at getting a new grill for my backyard to barbecue in, and I've been looking at different models and things like that. And in doing so, I got on YouTube and I was watching videos. And one of the things that really cracks me up, and you've probably noticed this if you've ever looked on YouTube, is there's a lot of videos of people unboxing things. And basically, if you're not familiar with this, somebody gets a new product, take for example a barbecue grill, or perhaps a new computer, and they video themselves taking it out of the box. And I mean, it's the whole thing. They cut the tape, they open it up. And it's kind of funny to me because I sit there and wonder, what do I really gain from that? I don't actually get to touch it. I don't actually get to use it. But I suspect it's some of that desire when we get that new toy or we get a new product, we want to share that with somebody. We want to share our excitement in getting that with somebody. Another example is during this time, if you've been on social media at all, while we are practicing social distancing and staying in our homes, there's been a lot of new things that have been circulating on Facebook, Twitter. Basically, let me give you an example, giving an opportunity for you to share your life. Here's one that's been going around. You get to share 10 things, 10 jobs that you had, post 10 of them, and have one of them be false, and then ask other people to guess which job you didn't actually do. There's something in us, I believe, that just wants to share. And I know those are some fun ways we see or maybe some superficial ways, but there's something deep in our hearts that wants to share in life with other people. And now on a more serious note, so many of us are being impacted because there's birthdays. We long to share birthdays, to celebrate and have big family gatherings, but we can't do that. There's even weddings that are being planned that have had to be done in private. There's all kinds of things that are impacting us that really expose that hunger we have to share. You know, I hunger to share in the fellowship of the church, the gathering together, the encouragement of the intergenerational, diverse body of Christ coming together in unity. There's so many things we long for. And this morning, I just want to share a very, very simple truth with you that I think is so, so important. It's a reminder from God's word of the comfort and hope we have. And the simple truth I want to share with you this morning is this: you are not alone. Jesus is with you. It may not seem that way, you may not realize it, but you are not alone. Jesus is with you. He wants you to find hope in him, and he wants you to share in his life. Do you realize this morning? Do you realize that there is a way for every person to find life, to find hope in the love of God? John 3:16, such a familiar passage, and also verse 17, is a passage that I think we do well to remember during this time. It's a passage that speaks of the life that every person can have in God, in his love. Listen to what John says. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." It's important for us to remember that this way that we can come to have life in the love of God for every person is only first through God's initiative in loving us and sending his son for us. Jesus is that way. And this way has been provided and opened for all people at all times through God's own initiative, not a human idea, but rather in the self-giving, loving heart of God himself. He would come to us. Jesus would share in our brokenness so that we might share in his love and in his glory. In John chapter 17, beautiful passage where Jesus prays. He prays for his disciples. He prays for the church. He prays for the world. You can truly see in the heart of Jesus his longing. You can hear in his words his passion and desire that all people would come to know this love of God, that the Son of God, Jesus, did not come to the world to condemn the world, but to redeem, restore the world. Now, if we look at Scripture, we look throughout the Gospels and the New Testament, it's clear that this gift, this opportunity we have to be restored, to find our life in the love of God, is only possible as a response. There's no ladder we can build up to God. There's no personal acts. It's not about just becoming religious or doing this or doing that. No, this is a love that God brings to us, and our part is to respond. And there's two main responses when we experience this love that enable us to experience the life that God gives us in a relationship with Him and His love. Those responses are this: the response of repentance and the response of faith. Now, repentance is a word that maybe there's some confusion about, but simply it means this. It means to turn away from sin, to turn away from everything else that we've held on to that we thought would bring us life, that has failed us, that has left us only with death. Repentance is to turn away from our sins, to turn away from evil, and to turn fully to God in Christ, trusting in His righteousness, His goodness, to follow Him. And faith is a word of trust. It's trusting not in ourself, not in our reputation, not in our possessions, not in our health, not in religion, not in various things. No, it's trusting in the one, Lord Jesus Christ, who is God's love, who has come to us, who meets us in our brokenness. There is a way for every person to know and to find the life that God gives us, eternal life that He gives us, not just in the future, but that life that He gives us even now when we turn to Him. And I want you to know there's a way for you to experience this life. It's simply when you respond. When you by faith receive this love and you respond in repentance and in trust to Christ, do we experience this life. Do you realize this morning that there is a way to overcome the brokenness in us and in our world? You see, Jesus has not left us alone. He didn't just come to the world some 2,000 years ago and then return to the Father and just say, I hope you make it. No, Jesus has not left us alone. In John chapter 14 through 16, especially in chapter 16, Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit that He would send. That would be the Spirit of God Himself that would be with us and be in us who believe. And He would bring to us the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father so that we would walk even in this life in such a way that we would know the love of God in us. The victory of Christ, the hope of Christ, which would so be in our hearts who believe. Now in John chapter 16, Jesus refers to this Holy Spirit as a helper. So he refers to God the Holy Spirit as a helper. And I don't know where you are right now, but maybe you find yourself saying, boy, I need help. I know that's where I find myself in this process day to day, is Lord, I need your help today. I need help. I need you to help me in my anxiety. I need you to help me in my worry. I need you to help me in whatever it may be that is going on in my mind. The work that I have to do is harder to do. Would you give me wisdom to do it? In caring for my family and all these various things, I need your help. And you know, it's the humble prayer that God hears and answers. It's not the pride that refuses to look up to Him. It's rather when we humbly pray and admit our need, He helps us. And God has done that in giving us the Holy Spirit. He convicts the world of its sin. Jesus says this in John 16, verse 8 and following. He speaks of how the Holy Spirit convicts the world of its sin. He makes us aware of what's gone wrong in this world. That God did not create this world to experience the death and disease and suffering that we have in it. But rather, that's all entered the world through sin. And it's actually our insistence and desire to rebel against what God has created good and against Him that has brought the curse of sin upon the world and its effects. So one thing the Holy Spirit does is He makes us aware. He makes us aware that life with Jesus is better than a life lived without Jesus. And only he can do that in our hearts. But he's faithful and he loves us. He also convinces the world of righteousness, John says. Now, what's fascinating about that is he's actually saying that he makes us aware of all, he exposes all of our false attempts at righteousness. He convicts us of that because every human initiative to make ourselves righteous in and of ourselves, or to look for goodness and love in and of ourselves, only results in more hurt, more evil, more sin, more corruption. So the Holy Spirit makes us aware that goodness and love and justice and faithfulness are not things that we possess on our own. They're things that are God, that are true of our God, and they're things, qualities that he creates in us as we trust in him. He convicts us of righteousness. But then he also says in John 16 that he guides us and he comforts us. He guides us into the truth. And we also know in Romans he prays for us. So if you're feeling that you need help today, the word of God, the words of Jesus reminds us that there's a way to overcome the brokenness of this world. I want you to look at John 16, 32 through 33. Jesus here says, "Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now Jesus is speaking these very words to his disciples just before his death, that cruel death on a cross. And he's speaking to them that he'll be left alone because all the disciples will run away in fear. But he really won't be alone because God the Father and God the Spirit will be with him. And Jesus encourages them, reminding them that they don't need to be afraid because Jesus has overcome the world. Even though in this life we will have tribulation, difficulties, hardships, persecution, disease, these things are no respecter of your faith. For Christians and non-believers alike, we experience cancer, we experience loss, grief, disease. These things come to us. But yet we have hope because we know that Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus says his desire is that his peace would be in us. We have God's Spirit. We have the Helper with us. And there is a way for us to live in this world, even while we wait for Christ to return, and to live in this world with the peace and the hope that God brings. It's by relying on the Holy Spirit and trusting in him. We experience change in our lives as we stay with Jesus, as we walk with him and his Spirit is in us. He not only is dealing with the brokenness in the world, he wants to deal with the brokenness in me and my heart. The areas where that want to return evil for evil, the areas that are self-seeking, self-serving, that are areas of pride or lust or greed or anger, he wants to make, as I walk with him through his Holy Spirit, to become like Jesus himself. So there is a way for us to be in the world, but to overcome the world and the brokenness in us and in the world, and it's through the Holy Spirit. He's the one who walks with us. He's the one who brings the presence of Jesus to us. And do you realize this morning that there is good news of great joy worth suffering for to bring to others? There's good news that's worth bringing to others. Luke 2, 10 through 12. I want to read this passage. We usually read it around Christmas time. We read it a couple months ago. But I want you to hear again the words of the angel to the shepherds announcing the birth of Jesus. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." It's the hope we have that a Savior has come to this world, And just as the angel announced good news of great joy at the coming and the birth of Jesus, that wasn't just about him being born. It was pointing to what God was doing in Jesus. The good news that we have that causes joy is that God in Christ was reconciling and restoring this broken and fallen world to himself. And although during this time we look around us, and what we see is we see how all of nature and creation in this world has been subjected to the death and corruption brought upon it by sin. As Paul says, against its will. This creation isn't made for this, but yet we see everywhere the effects. And even now during this time of suffering, we see evil as well. We see all kinds of things, even in this time. But as we look around us, we need to remember that we can look up. We can look up and look forward because the holy triune God of self-giving love will restore all that has been broken. And that is why Jesus came. And that is why the angels announced it is good news of great joy. A savior, a king has been born. God in Christ is in the work of restoring and reconciling all things to himself. John 17, 15 through 21, Jesus again now praying for his disciples. He says something I think that's helpful for us. It's helpful for us because maybe right now you wish you could just hop on a plane and go to an island by yourself and escape all of this. And that's okay. I assume a lot of us feel that way. And maybe we just think that, man, God just wants to get us out of this mess to where he is. Well, he does, but not yet. Jesus actually prays for something different. He prays that his disciples would stay in the world. And there's a reason for that, and I want you to hear what he says. Jesus says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You see, what Jesus' prayer for the church and for followers of Christ through the ages, it's the prayer not that we would want to hide away or withdraw or escape. It's the call that we would remain in this broken, fallen world, just as Jesus came to this broken, fallen world. And that through our love, the love of God in us, and the love we have for one another, and the character of Christ in us, that the world would see that God truly does love this world, and that God is at work in Christ. So my hope and one of my prayers for our church during this time is even though we cannot connect in person, my hope and prayer is that we would be known by our love. And that in addition to all these desires we have for life to go back to normal, I hope that the Holy Spirit will put a passion in us that wants to share good news. Because even now, especially now, we have good news of great joy because of who we know. Because of what God has done in Jesus and how we have come to experience that. And even though everything's broken around us, we know what God has done, is doing, and will ultimately do. There is a good news that's worth suffering for. Finally, there is a king worthy of our surrender and our hope. There's a king worthy of our surrender and hope. Today is Palm Sunday. It's a day where we would be gathering and the kids would have palm branches, remembering that day a couple of millenniums ago where individuals came as Jesus entered into Jerusalem for the last time and they cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they took off their cloaks and they laid them and made a path for Jesus and they waved palm branches shouting out, Hosanna. it's a time that we would remember the salvation that Jesus brings, and we remember the world's true King. Jesus comes in riding peacefully into Jerusalem, into the city of David, as the victorious King. He's not sitting on a war horse, though. He's sitting humbly upon a young donkey. He comes in as a victorious King, but also as a suffering servant, one who is meek and lowly. And in just a few short days, we will see this King become the man of sorrows that Isaiah spoke about, who would bear our suffering and who would fully identify with the hurt and the brokenness in this world to restore it. I want to read that one of those suffering or the servant songs in Isaiah that we see, Isaiah chapter 53. And I want you to remember the victory that our King accomplished is not through the weapons of this world. It's not through the political paths or powers or coercion. It's through being a servant and humbly suffering. Listen to what Isaiah says. Speaking of the suffering servant, he says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus comes to this broken world. He comes not as a Roman general riding into Jerusalem. No, he comes to be a suffering Messiah. He doesn't come to overthrow a political power of his day or through politics to achieve a victory. No, he comes to offer his life for all people everywhere. He is the suffering servant who takes our brokenness upon himself. And at the same time, he is the eternal King. You see, Jesus is a King who is worthy of your surrender. He is a King who is worthy of your hope, because he is with you in your suffering. He is with me in my suffering. He truly is with us, and he takes upon himself all of our sin. But he is the eternal King. If we had time, we'd look at Revelation 19. Picture of the end of the age, the end of time, when Scripture tells us that Jesus will return. And he'll return bodily to restore and for us to fully see the victory that he won 2,000 years ago on the cross through his death and resurrection. We will see that victory fully realized. We will see the kingdom of God fully here. And Jesus will win the final battle over death and evil. And we'll see that. And then Revelation 21 gives us a picture of what that eternal kingdom of this amazing suffering King looks like when he is the victorious King. Hear what John says. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.'" You see, Jesus is a King who is worthy of your surrender, and he's worthy of your hope. Do you realize this morning, you're not alone? These are difficult times. And we can bring those feelings to God of fear, of lament, whatever we have going on, frustration, concern. But it's important that we hear from him. And that is this, that he has not abandoned us. He is still with us. His name is still Emmanuel. God is with us. We are not alone. You know, even in the midst of the brokenness around us, we have pictures of this kind of love. We have signs that point toward the fact of the goodness that God alone gives and of the coming kingdom of God. And I just want to invite you to think about our doctors and nurses. If you've been following some of the stories that are coming out, while a lot of us are sheltering in place and we're safe and we have our family around us, there are doctors and nurses who are going directly into hospitals, and they are spending hours and sometimes without sleep just to serve. They're putting themselves at risk. They're potentially risking their lives to bring care and healing to us and to many who are suffering. They're working tireless shifts, and then if they do get to go home for sleep, they're often sleeping in their basement, quarantining themselves from their children, from their grandchildren, from their spouses, to not run the risk of bringing this virus home. And so even in a time like this where we see stories of people, of the violence in our world, or people even now being evil during this time, and in all kinds of bad examples that are taking place of hoarding and other things that are happening, don't forget there's stories that point forward to the kingdom of God. Remember that. And remember that there's one, your king. He entered into this broken world, and he wasn't afraid. And he came, and he suffered, and he died to heal your sin, to heal my sin, and to heal this broken world, to make it new. There is a king that is worthy. Let me encourage you. You're not alone. Jesus is with you. You have his Holy Spirit, who is the helper, who will guide you, who will lead you. Jesus is with us. And we have hope to bring to other people. We have hope to give to other people. The number one thing the world needs from the church today, during this time especially, is that the church would truly be like Jesus. So I want to leave you with the scripture. This is at the end of Jesus' prayer, John 17, 20 through 26, where Jesus is praying for us, those of us who would believe through the disciples' testimony. And I want you to hear directly from him what he's concerned about for us today, especially in this time. Jesus says, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who would believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me, even as you loved me, loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me be in them, and I in them." Church, may we look like Jesus so that the world might know the love of God that sent his Son to restore all things. And may all the world know that we are Christians by our love. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we pause this morning for prayer, Father, we know that in this time we are facing things that we never anticipated. Each one of us are adapting and adjusting, and there's a lot of places that we could look around us that are broken, that don't have hope, But Father, as we listen to your word today, we remember that we are not alone and that you are with us. We remember the good news that was announced to the shepherds that day at the birth of Christ ultimately points us to the fact of what you've done in the Lord Jesus and what you are doing and what you will do one day. So Father, for every person today in their homes, every person listening here today, we pause, Jesus, to pray to you, Father, to acknowledge our need, to humble ourselves, Father, to allow you to once again remind us, Lord, that you desire all people to come to know the life that you give. And Father, that you have given us your Holy Spirit, that in these times that you are with us to guide us, to comfort us, to care for us, remind us that in times like this, the world is looking for hope. And we as followers of Jesus know that we found this hope, and it's not ours, it's yours. And so during this time above all, may we be known by your love. May that be what people know about us in the church, is our self-giving love that really isn't ours. It belongs to you, and it's your love in us. So, Father, we thank you for that. We pray that for every person today in our church family, that they would experience that love, that they would walk in that love. And, Father, that would be the source of our daily strength in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lydia and Pastor Matt, for sharing that song with us. it is our desire as followers of Christians to be known by our love. And I just want to share before we go about our day today a specific way that we can be known by our love, specifically in helping other people during this time. We are going to have a drive-by food drive from noon today until 5 p.m. And we're asking that you would come by the church if you're able, only if you're able during this time, and just drop off in some Rubbermaid totes any canned goods that you do not need or that you'd be willing to share with those who are without. We are going to take these canned goods and make them available to anyone in our church family who may be struggling, but also donate them to a local food bank. So between noon and 5 today, please come by the church if you're able and donate those canned goods that could be a blessing to somebody else. If you're wondering, can we do that in a time like this? I've had a conversation with the Peoria Police Department and asked them about this, and they said it's a wonderful idea that we go ahead and do this, provided that we continue to follow those regulations in place. So we'd ask that as you come by, don't get out of your vehicle to talk to anybody. If you see somebody from the church, just smile and wave. If you really want to talk to them, call them on your cell phone. But just stop by, and this is going to be located right by our main entrance, the entrance everybody uses, which is in the back of the building by the parking lot. Stop by, pull your car up there, get out, put those canned goods into those Rubbermaid totes, and then be on your way. We think this is just a wonderful way for us to do this. In addition to that, we're going to have a table set up right there with baskets, with individually wrapped containers that have communion, the bread and the juice in those baskets. And so if you'd like to take one of those or take enough for your family, I'd encourage you to go home and to share in the Lord's Supper, to remember that just as we share in his life and in his love, we also share in his mission, and let that encourage you. If you're a senior and you're unable to get out, we would ask that you don't do that. Stay home, stay in place. We are going to have an opportunity for all of us to share in the Lord's Supper on Good Friday. We have a service that evening planned, 6:30 p.m. live stream, and we're going to be coaching you on how you can use some items that you already have in your home for us to come together as a church family virtually to share in the Lord's Supper and remember his death for us. But again, I want to thank you for joining us today. If you're able to participate in coming by the church in this drive-by food drive to support those in need, I'd love for you to. On the other hand, if you're somebody in our church who is in need, I'd encourage you, swing by about 4 p.m., and you feel free to take whatever you want from the totes, as many cans, whatever's left over, we're going to donate to a local food bank. So thank you so much again. God bless you this week. We'll look forward to seeing you on the live stream on Friday night for our Good Friday service. Thank you. God bless you.